They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis.
Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we're talking to Dr. Mary Alice Mina. Dr. Mina is a Harvard-trained double board certified dermatologist, dermatologic surgeon, and leading expert on skin health and skin care. She is the host of The Skin Real, a podcast for people looking for real skincare guidance by true skin experts, where she emphasizes a holistic and preventative approach to skin health and aesthetics. She is co-owner of Bauckham & Mina Derm Surgery in Atlanta, Georgia, where she treats patients with advanced surgical and cosmetic procedures to restore and maintain healthy skin. She is recognized for her artistic eye and surgical skills while helping people feel good in their skin. So welcome, Dr. Mina. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Oh, Brittany, it's such a pleasure to be on. I love what you're doing. I love your podcast. And I think it's so important that moms, women have this kind of community to discuss these things that we're worried about, we're thinking about, that are on our minds. So thank you.
Yeah. So the focus of this podcast is metamorphosis, like transformation. And I think that women and moms especially go through transformation with how they look through pregnancy, through postpartum, through multiple pregnancies, and how they feel about who they see in the mirror. And I wanted to read a quote that you wrote in the several emails that we exchanged when we were preparing for this podcast. And you said, "I think people think you, as a dermatologist, are immune to feeling insecure or unworthy when you're a dermatologist and have any and every aesthetic option available. But what I've learned is that chasing every wrinkle and fighting to eliminate any sign of aging and trying to find Mother Nature is futile and unhealthy. Instead, finding peace within is much more powerful." And I really loved that approach to just looking at our bodies, looking at our faces, and thinking, who am I and how can I grow into my own beauty in my own story on my own journey?
Yeah, totally. That's so beautiful how you put it too. And I feel like I see the spectrum of women and people, and I see it in my friends and I see it in myself. We are going through a metamorphosis, right? That is what life is. We are changing. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was even 2 years ago. And I think sometimes our society, or maybe we do this to ourselves, we don't allow ourselves to grow and change. We feel like we have to be the exact same we were, or at least looks-wise, in our 20s. And now we're 45 and we've had kids and life is different. And so I want to sort of change the narrative that it's actually okay to evolve and change as women, and not to be afraid of aging. There are some parts of it that are more desirable than others. Yes, I'm not saying everything is wonderful and rosy and everything, but if you have this fear of aging, this fear of changing, and you're constantly trying to fight it, you're going to be really unhappy. I don't think you're going to feel very fulfilled. I know I haven't when I've felt that way.
Yeah. So I love hearing personal stories on this podcast. And you are a mom of two. And how old are your kids?
So my daughter, Lucy, is about to be 9 in a couple of weeks. So she's 9 going on 18. And I have a son, George, who is 10.
All right. Can you tell us a story maybe from your early motherhood, or one that sticks out, about when you didn't feel comfortable in your own skin and maybe how you came to process that?
Oh, gosh. I can think of so many. It's like, which one to start with? But I'll tell you one thing. Having children will humble you. I can think of two short ones. But my kids you know, children, they, we don't have iPads and we try to do minimal electronics, but my goodness, they know how to work a phone. Like even they would grab your phone even at two or three. And they were the ones that taught me you can take pictures without the phone being unlocked. I didn't know that. And so all of a sudden I'd look at my phone and I'd see all these crazy pictures that they had snapped without me knowing. And let me tell you, they were pictures from some really unflattering angles, no makeup, terrible lighting. And I would see these pictures that they would snap, and a lot of times of me. And I just remember thinking, is that really me in that picture? That is, I couldn't believe it. I was just this, I thought I looked horrible. I looked terrible. I looked old, unbelievable. And I was like, oh my gosh. But I mean, here is the proof. The picture is right here. And so that's one example where I haven't felt really good in my own skin. And it's just these very candid and weird angle pictures that my children snap. And then they'll tell me other things like the other day I was trying on a dress. Well, it was actually for New Year's, and it was sparkly. It was tight. And it was from Rent the Runway. And I put it on and it had a large slit up the leg. And my son runs over to me and he touches the back of my thighs and he says, "Mom, is this what Barbie was worried about getting?" And if you've watched the movie, Barbie is worried about getting cellulite. And he just like immediately zoned in on cellulite that he, you know, could see clear as day on me. And so I was just like, wow, okay. Yeah, that is what she was worried about. And yes, I have cellulite. So those are just a couple examples I can think of where your kids, they don't mean to be mean, right? They're just brutally honest, will tell you. And I realized like, okay, yeah, I mean, I have cellulite. I am not as toned as I was 20 years ago. That's just the way it is, but I'm not going to let it make me feel bad as a person. It is what it is. I'm going to really what at this stage in my life, I just want to be healthy and I want to be as healthy as possible. And I want to maintain my health, my strength, more so than really looking to be skinny, totally cellulite free, totally wrinkle free. That's kind of my goal. So I do feel like that's been a metamorphosis for me, because I can tell you when I was in my 20s, I wanted to be skinny. I wanted to be really attractive, sexy, all these things. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm good with just looking my best and being strong. Those are like my goals now.
Yeah. I love that story about how the kids took your picture and they were probably like, "I just want to take a picture of mommy. Look, mommy's doing this. Mommy's doing that." And they probably didn't even see you as you saw yourself. They just saw mommy, like here's my mom. And I know that my kids have taken pictures of me and they're like, "Mommy, look, here you are." And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm in my pajamas. Like I have double chins, because they're taking it from like a 4-year-old standpoint, but they're like, that's how they see me. And they don't see anything other than mommy, who they love, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that sometimes it can be humbling, but it's also maybe eye-opening to think, my children just see somebody that they love. And why don't I see myself as somebody that I love, you know? Yeah.
So true. Yeah. My kids also at the same time, they make me feel amazing. I'll put on like a dress or high heels and they're like, "Oh my goodness, mom, you look so amazing." They want to hug me. They want to try my shoes on. Yeah. So again, they're innocent. It's not meant to be, you know, they're brutally honest and they love deeply. And, but they also, yes, can sometimes point out these things that you feel insecure about, but they're not trying to make you feel bad.
Yeah. I think there's so many, it's like they are part of the voice that shapes the way we look at ourselves, but there's so many other voices that come into how we feel like we're supposed to look a certain way. Voices from, you know, culture, voices from our past. I know that when I was growing up, I grew up in a very conservative, environment where women had lots of children. They didn't necessarily wear makeup. Some of them, when I would see them out and about or at outings, you would just see their hair always just in this low ponytail at the back of their head. Maybe hair that could have been, maybe it was a few days past a wash day. And I just remember looking at these women. And then when I became a mom, thinking about the moms I grew up with and thinking, none of those women were pretty. And then I thought, am I supposed to be pretty? Like, are moms supposed to be beautiful? Like, what it was trying to bring together those narratives of what is a mom supposed to look like? Who am I supposed to be? And I think that's part of that transformation process, because we are stepping into both a new role, but also our person, our body has changed. Maybe even our skin has changed throughout pregnancy. And I was wondering if you could speak to maybe the women that you see who are in early motherhood, or maybe they're pregnant and dealing with some skin problems and maybe some insecurities that they see in themselves.
Yeah. So it's a great point. And I see that gamut too, or the spectrum of people who really don't do anything for their aesthetic appearance. And then some who are the other extreme. But I do find, what the stage of motherhood is, there's no way, how do you say it? I mean, it's a total life-changing event, right? Your life will never be the same after you have kids. And when you're pregnant, your body is changing. For some women, I feel like their skin looks amazing. Their hair looks amazing. They're glowing, right? And everyone loves a pregnant woman, right? You get a lot of attention. You feel really good about yourself. What I find is hard is then you have the baby. And then that belly is really not cute anymore. And your hair starts falling out. And you're not sleeping. And you're getting dark circles under your eyes. And I find people have a lot more compassion for a pregnant woman than they have for a mom with a 1-month-old who's struggling to grocery shop and wrangle the toddler and carry the groceries. So I find that that's really interesting. I find when I was pregnant, lots of people willing to help me out and, give me their seat and all that. But then it's like, once you have the kids, it's like, okay, get your kids in order. So your skin, lots of things about your skin change with pregnancy. You can get stretch marks, you can get rashes. And then the tricky thing is you feel like you can't do anything, right? Like, oh, don't put that on. Is that safe to use? Can I really take that? A lot of people are really scared to prescribe things to pregnant people because they don't want anything to hurt the baby. Or you may be very nervous to take any medicines for fear of hurting the baby. So a lot of times I think women just sort of suffer through pregnancy. We're just kind of like, well, this is how it is. And then the baby comes, and the skin challenges don't really change, it's not that they go away and you never have any problem. And if anything, I think the challenges are amplified once you have a baby, because now your health, your self-care really falls to the bottom, right? I don't know any mom of newborns and infants who is doing a complicated skin routine, making sure they're getting regular massages and all of this stuff, right? We really just fall to the bottom, and it seems like it's survival. At least it was for me. And then I find, at least for me, my whole identity changed when I became a mom, and I didn't necessarily love that. I loved my children, but I found the infant, the baby stage really frustrating. I'm used to working at a job. It's very fast paced. We get things done. I have staff. If I ask them to do something, it gets done. And then here I am now, my home life, nobody listens to me. It's a mess. It's madness. And for someone who's just used to a totally different environment, I found that to me was a huge metamorphosis and a change. To realize, like, here's this new identity. And also, you know, then you become just mom. Oh, hey, mom, you know, you go somewhere like, okay, come here, mom. You're Lucy's mom. You're George's mom. It's like you no longer have a name. Mm-hmm. And so for me, having my outlet also still as a doctor, as a dermatologist, that I really needed that for my self-identity, because otherwise, I felt like I'm just mom who doesn't even have a name. And I just so many, I know I went off base on a tangent, right, Brittany? But that to me was a big metamorphosis in changing this identity of mom. And now that my kids are in school, I feel like I can kind of get my head above water again, and I can breathe. And I've also learned, as I'm getting older too, I think you can kind of fake some of the skin stuff in your 20s and 30s, but in your late 30s, that's when things start to show, things start to change. And now that I'm in kind of my early mid 40s, I realize, like, prevention is key, maintenance is key, and focusing on my health is so important. No, you know, gone are the days that I'm just going to forego my self-care and take care of everyone else. You know, sleep is a priority for me now, exercise, stress management. And I used to think those were selfish things to do, but now I realize I have to do that to be the best mom for my children, to be the best doctor for my patients.
Yeah, I like how you, I like the tangent, so don't worry about that. I think it's really good to voice those things out loud, because sometimes women can feel like, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who doesn't feel like herself. I'm the only one who maybe feels frustrated with the baby stage, or like the under two stage, or the yeah. 0 to 5 stage, or where you maybe have become a stay-at-home parent where you did have a high achieving, fast-paced job, and you think, oh my gosh, like I don't even know who I am now. And finding ways to feel more like yourself is a journey. But getting back to that place is really important for feeling like, okay, I know who I am as I step into this new role. And that can take time, but yeah. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel like yourself again. I also really liked how you talked about preventative care and also not feeling selfish for taking care of yourself. I know that for me, finding the right products to use on my skin, because I had really bad rosacea with my 5th child, and we lived overseas, and I was trying to use some American products, but really like the British products that I needed to use were formulated for the water there, but I didn't know what to pick. So I just kept kind of suffering through it. And then we moved again and are in a new location with a new water type. And my skin was still so dry because our water was so hard. And finally, I was just like, something's got to change, because I was actually in pain. Like my face would hurt. And I was just, every time I looked in the mirror, I felt sad. And so I think if the way you're looking is causing you pain, or every time you look in the mirror, it fills up your thoughts, we should back it up and take care of ourselves before we get to that point. But I think that should be a real sign to somebody to be like, let's make a change. Like, this is definitely affecting the way that your self-esteem, the way you are thinking about yourselves. And so, I mean, I tried lots of different things, and I eventually, this is not a commercial, but I found Proven, which is like a three product system, which I really like, and it's really helped me. So that was simple, but also I had to be willing to be like, I'm going to pay money for this. Yeah. And that felt like the selfish thing, like actually spending money on myself and not just on the kids, you know, their clothes, their activities. Like, I am a person who's worthy of care, and sometimes care costs money. And I'm sure maybe women feel like that when they come to you, like, I'm paying for a dermatologist, maybe I'm feeling selfish. Or maybe you see the other end of the spectrum too, where people are coming in and they're spending lots and lots and lots of time and money to look or feel a certain way, when maybe self-acceptance is what they really need in their lives.
Yeah, you summed it up right there. I definitely see the spectrum there. And I feel that way too. I remember my business partner maybe 10 years ago would talk about he would get a massage every week. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, that is excessive. How in the world, like, the time, the money, that's crazy. And I remember telling him, I would never spend money on a massage for myself. The only time I get massages is if I got it for a birthday gift. And I remember him telling me, like, why not? If you like them, get a massage. Like, that's not you being selfish and extravagant. If that makes you feel good, that helps with your stress management, get a massage. Now, do I get a massage every week? Absolutely not. If I get it every quarter, that's lucky and good. But I had to sort of reframe that taking care of myself wasn't selfish. Taking care of myself is essential. And as moms, we really, sometimes it's like, you got to be, who's the biggest martyr, right? And not taking care of ourselves, or who's going to sacrifice more. But we got to reframe that, because we can't take care of our kids if we are in pain and our skin is burning and hurting and we don't feel good about ourselves. And yeah, for whether you like it or not, how you look affects how you feel. And so sometimes people think it's, well, that's just vanity, but no. I mean, if your skin is hurting and painful and blistering or cracked open, that's not healthy. And You got to take care of yourself. You wouldn't let your child feel that way, right? You would help your child if they felt that way, or your spouse. So I think moms need to understand it's okay to take care of yourself. And then, of course, yeah, then I see the other extreme, right? I see the moms who are always on the quest to eliminate, prevent, to do every procedure possible to maintain their youth and their appearance. And I think that's just as healthy as the other extreme, right? Because they are putting all their value into their appearance and how they look. And like I said in the quote you read, like, Mother Nature always wins, right? Like, anytime there's like a big bad thunderstorm, or I hear about flooding or storms, I'm just like, wow, like, Mother Nature is the boss, and she's ultimately gonna dominate. And so it's really futile to think that you can totally reverse it. So I think a healthier approach is thinking of taking care of your skin first and foremost from inside out. And then the outside things that we do, the things, the creams and the topicals or the procedures, those are like the icing on the cake. That's sort of once you've already got your foundation laid, then we can, you know, we can do some fun stuff. I like doing aesthetic stuff. I mean, I'm not like au naturel, but I don't go crazy because I've taken care of my skin. So I don't need a lot of these extra procedures that are available. And like I said in that quote, you know, I could do any procedure I want. I could call up a friend who has it or do it and everything. But it's important to know, like, I don't need to be doing all those things. My value is more than just how I look. Now I want to portray myself as well as I can, but really it's ultimately about like my health as my body, my mind, and then the aesthetic stuff. Just let that be sort of the icing on the cake, if that even interests you.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I also think about like when you go to a family reunion, or even just, you know, you see your grandmother or your aunt or your, you know, your great aunt when you visit, and you think, you look at these women that are in your family, or even maybe an older sister who's like 5 years older than you. And I think like, I want to see how women age in our family. You know, like, and you would look at your grandmother and you wouldn't think, oh my gosh, she needs such and such procedure done. Right. Or why doesn't she take care of herself? You think, this woman is beautiful. And even in her wrinkles and her aging and her gray hair and the way her body is soft and, you know, like the skin is soft around her body. And I remember my kids to visit my grandmother, and she had extra skin on her arms, and they would say, Nani, you look at your skin. And they would want to touch her arms, and she's like, yes, I have wings. And then she would kind of like flap her arms, and then they just got so tickled by that. And because she had wings, and she said she was an angel, and she's 95. And so, wow. Like, thinking about your body as having angel wings when you have excess skin on like the back of your arms, I think that's a woman who is kind to accept, this is my body as it ages.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I know that she has done so many things to take care of herself. Not, she is in like a nursing home now, but when she was 80, she had a personal trainer, and yeah, she had a smoothie routine that she got from her nutritionist that she drank every morning. And like, she was doing those things to take care of herself, even as an 80-year-old woman, to try to be fit and healthy. And after she had a stroke was when she went into the home. But like, she, yeah, there are ways that we can, as women, continue to take care of ourselves and also find the balance of accepting aging. So I was wondering if you could share how you've done that for yourself. What are ways, like practical ways, that you have both take care of your body, but also accepted the way that you're aging?
Yeah. So I think that brings up a great point about sort of your chronological age and your genetic age. And that, I mean, I see patients of all ages, and I'll see an 80-year-old where I have to do a double take on their date of birth, because I'm like, there is no way you're 80. You are at most 60. And then I'll see someone who is younger than me, and I'll think they're older than me. So it's all about, and we're learning about this more and more, and I hope, and I think we will hear a lot more about this, like the blue zone people, right? The people who live, the centenarians, and they live longer than anyone else in the world. And they're looking at these pockets of communities. Why do they live longer? Well, and healthier, right? Because I don't want to just live longer. I want to live healthier, right? That's called your health span, not just your lifespan. And they find that really it's not your genetics per se. It's really things like your lifestyle, things that we actually can modify and change and affect. And so by reading about that and learning about some of the things that these people do to be healthy, it's really motivated me like, okay, exercise, I need to incorporate that into my day-to-day activities. I need to be trying to walk at least 10,000 steps a day instead of just sitting. I have turned off my TV. I don't remember the last time I watched TV except our Friday movie nights because I realized I'm just wasting my mind, my brain, and wasting time watching TV or scrolling on the internet when I could be doing other things like building my podcast and giving speeches and talks and things like that. Sleep, that's a huge one. Even until a couple of years ago, it was like a badge of honor, at least in medical school, or I think with high achieving professionals, it's like, you know, sleeping is for the weak, right? I don't need to sleep. I'm good with 4 hours. But what I realize is actually, no, we all need sleep. And the most successful people really value sleep. So focusing on sleep, focusing on my diet, making sure that I'm eating protein, I'm eating whole foods, getting lots of nutrients, and exercise. Those are so really just I've had this shift to this emphasis on lifestyle modifications for my health. And I will still, you know, I do Botox. I like biostimulants, which help stimulate your collagen because I know menopause is around the corner for me. And there's this whole movement now of women who are saying, okay, we're not just going to be told this is just your life for the next 50 years, right? I may live to be, my grandmother's almost 101. So I may not have even lived half my life yet. And so I don't want menopause to be this period of my life that I just dread and suffer through. I want to like thrive during that. So I feel like I'm trying to set everything up to be as healthy as possible for as long as possible. And I love that your grandma is doing working out, you know, at 80 with a personal trainer. I think too often people at 65, they retire and then they stay at home. And I think studies have shown they watch TV 9 hours a day. They're not getting up. They're not moving. Their cognitive abilities rapidly decline. And so I think it's just so important to stay moving mentally, stay aware, read, try to, you know, educate yourself, doing all of those things to stay as healthy as possible long term. And I see the changes on my skin. I notice, okay, my skin's a little bit wrinklier here by my elbows or whatever. And I'm just, you know what, I'm happily married. I have kids. I've sort of accepted, like, I'm not going to be going and chasing every flaw that I have. It's not worth it. It's not worth my time. I'm okay with not being perfect. And I just want to really, health is like my motivation now.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think that can be hard to get to that place, especially if we feel insecure, or we've had a lot of voices coming in from maybe our own families, the culture that we're in, saying that looking young or looking fit or looking beautiful are paramount. Or so I think that can be hard as women age. And I just want to affirm that, like, if somebody is not in that mental space yet, that healthy is like the most important thing and I'm okay with how I'm looking, if you're not in that space yet, it's okay. Like, you can grow into that space and be like, I'm not there yet, but I'm working in a good direction. So
You know what I found helpful too, is like, who are you surrounding yourself with? And what are you spending your time with? If you're always on Instagram and you're looking at these like celebrities or the girl you went to high school with who's posting these like unrealistic images and pictures, and they always make you feel bad when you look at it, like, unfollow them, quit looking at that stuff, right? I mean, maybe I'm so happy now, it's because I really don't look at that kind of stuff. And because you can't help but compare yourself. And instead, I've got this like core group of women girlfriends who are like my rock. And we don't necessarily see each other all the time, but thank goodness we're going to dinner tonight with some of them. I haven't seen them since I think before Christmas, but those are like my, those are my girls, right? And we have similar values where we don't just sit around talking about how we hate our bodies or, oh my gosh, I'm getting so old. Look how ugly I look or how gross. We sit around and we talk about things we're reading or challenges we're working on or health goals. We talk about our kids and we talk about them in a very real way. We don't sugarcoat like, my kids are making A's and they're perfect. No, my kids are having struggles and I need your help. And it's just really real talk. And I think if you can find even just one friend who you can be real with and is real with you, I think you won't feel so alone. You won't feel like, am I just crazy and going through this on my own? And kind of just shatter that tendency to feel like we have to have everything together and perfect as moms and as women, and just allow yourself to be flawed, to be able to voice things without judgment. So I personally have found that really, really helpful. And as I've gotten older, my really tight-knit group of friends has gotten smaller, but those are like, you know, they have my back, and I really value that time I have with them.
That's so important. I think if we want to change thought patterns, we have to change what's coming into our minds. So yeah. It's like, if your inner voice is mean, how can you, one, speak kinder to yourself, but also like bring in kinder and wiser voices into your everyday input? Like what you see online, what you read, what friends you're hanging out with, like that's so important. Yeah. So I know that I hope people will follow you on social media. I'm definitely going to share your handles because I think you share really good information on Instagram and your other pages. And I know that you're passionate about creating like minimalist routines for busy women. So I was wondering in our last few minutes, if you could share some practical advice about creating a minimalist routine that can work in the life of a busy woman and mom.
Yes. Yeah. I love to talk about this because I get so frustrated when I see the complicated routines out there. I see celebrities describing these elaborate routines. And then of course they want you to buy all their stuff. And most people and most dermatologists that I know, we keep it really, really simple. And you should, right? Because the stuff you're doing with your skin, I mean, that's just one component, right? So again, skincare really starts, skincare's whole body care. You got to take care of your body first. Then beautiful, healthy skin will come. But my skin routine is super simple. I use a gentle soap and I use the Dove Beauty Bar. I call it the white bar soap. I use that. I've been using it for decades. I recommend it for babies. People send me stuff to try and want me to try different cleansers and all that. And I'm like, why? This is like cost effective and it works. It's gentle. So I've been using that forever and I love it. So I wash my face in the morning and then I tend to still have oily skin, even though it's getting a little bit drier. So usually I'll recommend a moisturizer, but I have to admit I don't always use a moisturizer because my skin doesn't always need it. I have started using a vitamin C serum in the last year. That really helps with helping to combat oxidative stress from the sun, pollution, and damage. And then if you do have some discoloration on your skin, it can help with that. So typically wash my face, vitamin C serum, and then always, always, always sunscreen. I will not leave the house without it. And I would just tell people, put it by your toothbrush, because I think most people brush their teeth every morning. They don't debate, should I do it? Should I not? I'm just at home. Do I really need to? I'm not going to see anyone. No, you brush your teeth, put on your sunscreen every single day. I don't care what color your skin is. Everyone has to do it. If you do nothing else, if you sun protect, the sun is responsible for over 80% of our aging and accelerating our aging. So the people I see who are in their 80s and 90s with beautiful skin have been vigilant about sun protection. So that's my morning routine. That is literally all I do. And I don't wear foundation. I do like to wear mascara and some eyeshadow and maybe some blush, and that's it. So really super, super simple. And then my evening routine, you've got to wash your face in the evening. I'm okay with you not washing your face in the morning if you just want to splash water on it. But in the evening, you've got to wash off the dirt, the oil, the grime, the pollution, your makeup. You've got to wash your face at night before you go to bed. And then I'm a big fan of retinols and retinoids. That's vitamin A cream. I think it's really the most cost-effective anti-aging cream out there. You don't need a lot of it. A little tiny pea, you put that on your face. I do it my neck and top of my hands too now that I'm in my 40s. And that's such a powerful collagen booster. It will increase your collagen. It makes your skin more even and beautiful. And I just have to tell people though, it's like weight loss, right? You can't use it for a week and say, oh, it didn't work for me, right? It really takes time. You got to stick with it. But if you do, you will reap the benefits. I think I've been consistently using it since probably my early 20s when I struggled with acne, and then I've just continued on with it. And I plan to just use that forever. And that's really all you need. Now, if you have more dry skin, and yes, as I've gotten older, sometimes I will put on like Aquaphor Vaseline, something thicker around like my eyes or my lips if my skin is dry, or just a very basic moisturizer. And I think people are surprised too when they find out I don't use expensive products. I use drugstore brands, and that you don't have to spend a lot of money on your products. In fact, I would say don't, and then save your money for something else. Maybe that massage you want to get once a week, or maybe some Botox twice a year. You know, save it for the stuff that we really know will make a difference, or for other self-care things that that help you out.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that. And I love that it's minimalist, it's easy, and it's practical. Because like, sometimes you watch these like Instagram reels and these people are using like 17 different products, like no joke. And You're like, I can't even keep up with that. That's what I've liked about the products that I've been using. It has a cleanser you use morning and night, same thing. It has a day cream with SPF, and then it has a night cream, and that's it. So It's like wash and then moisturize, because I do have very dry skin. And So that is what I really like about it. And for me, their website was like 6 weeks, you'll see differences. And that wasn't the case for me. About 5 months being consistent, I was like, I can see a huge difference. My face isn't hurting. It's not inflamed anymore. It's not bright red, and it's calmer. And so I was like, this is what's working for me. And I think finding something simple that's sustainable, like the products you said, is key to feeling more comfortable, both in your own skin, metaphorically and physically.
Yeah. Well, and Brittany, you brought up a great point, consistency. You cannot just do this a couple times and then say, oh, but it didn't work, right? You have to stick with it. And the more complicated it is, the less likely you're going to stick with it, right? So you got to keep it simple to stick with it. But I find people, they're bouncing around, they have like shiny object syndrome, and they're like, ooh, that looks pretty, that looks pretty. And they are doing way too much to their skin. They're damaging their skin barrier, and they're not giving the products that work time to work. So keep it simple, be consistent. I know it sounds boring, but that is what works in the long term. So play the long game and take care of your body, right? Take care of your body. You can't be smoking, you can't be vaping, you can't be drinking tons of alcohol and eating lots of sugary food and think your skin is going to look radiant. You're not going to feel good. Your skin's not either. So I'm glad you brought up that about consistency.
Yeah. I'm so glad we had this conversation today. I really hope people glean a lot from it. Just maybe, I don't know, just different ways to think about themselves, different ways to think about their beauty, and ways to simplify and enhance their own lives. So to end our time, I have this one question for you. Finish this sentence. I'm proud of myself for, it can be life goals or something that happened this morning.
Gosh. I'm proud of myself for really committing to being better each and every single day. I've been reading a lot of, I feel silly saying like self-help books or books on personal development, right? I feel like a lot of times, or I'll just say for me personally, you know, I got through med school and then I'm a doctor. And then that was like my whole focus. And then now I'm like running a practice and a business. I'm like, I've never really learned these skills. And so now I'm like, you know what? I need to take the time to develop myself. And I've got personal development goals. And I forget who said this, but they say just each day, try to be 1% better. Because that 1%, it doesn't sound like a lot. But if you're 1% better every single day, imagine where you're going to be in several years. And 1% better can mean a lot of different things. For me, one of the things I want to work on is being more present with my children, not distracted. really setting boundaries between work and home life and not checking emails when I'm with my kids. And so, yeah, I'm most proud that I am finally focusing on my personal development.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Mina. I'm really happy you came on the podcast today.
Oh, Brittany, so much fun, and love the work that you're doing. And anytime, happy to be here. And for any of your listeners who do want to follow me on my podcast or my website, it's at Dr. Mina Skin, and the podcast is The Skin Real.
Thank you. I'm really glad you shared that.
Thanks, Brittany.
Hey, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Motherhood Metamorphosis. I hope you enjoyed this conversation and it gave you some good food for thought. If you haven't ever done so, could you hop over to Apple Podcasts on your phone, scroll down, and leave a review? Leaving a review really, really helps boost the podcast visibility in Apple Podcasts, and it encourages me to keep going. It also helps other people find the show, and if you're like me and you are looking for a new podcast, you read reviews and you figure out, hey, is this something that I want to spend my time on? So leaving a review really helps in all those ways. Next, if you'd like to support the podcast financially, I'd encourage you to go to Buy Me a Coffee. You can find the link in the show notes or on the Facebook page, the Motherhood Metamorphosis Podcast. And you can leave a small donation. These help cover the monthly costs and also help cover my time for producing this. There's also some really fun freebies in the shop on Buy Me a Coffee, some art that I've created, and some mental health resources for kids that I would like to share with you. There's also the opportunity to talk with me if you'd like to schedule a virtual coffee and chat. I would love to hear your story, to listen, to hear you, and to give you encouragement in your motherhood journey. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you join us next time.